Luke chapter number 8, we'll begin reading verse 41. The Bible says, "And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house, for he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him." Let's pray. Father, we sure do thank you. We can come to the house of God this morning. Lord, we're thankful that you provided a nice place where the roof's not leaking and we're not having any problems out of the weather. But God, we can come and we can put our attention, our focus upon the darling Lamb of God. God, we're thankful you're the peace speaker. We're thankful, Lord, that you went to Calvary and paid our sin debt. And God, we're thankful for the day you came to where I was and convicted me of sin and saved my never-dying soul. God, we're thankful that we can come and worship you in spirit and in truth, and we can come and we can sing songs of praise of thee. And God, we can open the bread of life and look into the perfect law of liberty, and God, glean from the truths of thy word. God, we're even thankful we can come on this day that we celebrate Mother's Day and honor these godly mothers in here today. But Lord, as we have come to this portion of the service, we're thankful for the good singing. We're thankful for the good Sunday school hour. But God, we need your help. Lord, you said in John 15 that, Lord, without you, we can do nothing. Lord, all of our abilities to speak and all of our intellect and all of our poise, Lord, it'll avail nothing without the touch of the Holy Ghost of God. So, Father, I pray that, Lord, you would help me to get out of the way, and you who are the way, the truth, and the life would show up and manifest yourself in a powerful and a wonderful way. Now, Lord, as we are here, my heart is heavy. Because, Lord, I realize there's somebody needs some help. Now, Lord, I can't help them, but I can point them to you. So, Father, I pray you'd just arrange the atmosphere now. I pray that you'd put a hedge about us. I pray you'd bind the powers of hell. I pray the sweet Holy Ghost of God would not be grieved or quenched, but allowed to do his office work. God, if there's somebody here lost, I pray through Holy Ghost conviction, they'd come to the saving knowledge of Christ even this very hour. Father, if there's somebody here saved, but Lord, they're here, but their heart is far from you, I pray today would be the day they get right with the Lord. Father, if there's somebody here saved, serving God, doing the best they can to be faithful, I pray you'd bless them, give them something. But Lord, there may be somebody here seeking some answers, seeking some strength, seeking the will of God. Lord, whatever the need, I pray you'd show up big and help folks. Use this unworthy vessel now. Get glory to your glorious name. We'll bless you and praise you for it's in Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen and amen. I want to draw your attention to these two verses. And I want you to notice the person of renown. The Bible says in verse 41, "There came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue." This man came to where Jesus was, and he is a man of renown. Brother Jim, it didn't say he's a man who attended the synagogue. Brother Doug, he didn't say he was a man who cleaned the synagogue. This man is a ruler of the synagogue. Matter of fact, Brother Phil, just by him going to where Jesus is at, he is putting his position and his job in jeopardy. For if the Pharisees find out that this ruler is there speaking with Jesus, they're going to look at him in disdain. This is a man of renown. This is a man, Brother Rod, that has to eat a lot of humble pie to come to where Jesus is at. We see a person of renown. I want you to notice the place of desperation. Look again in your Bible, verse 41. It says, "And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house, for he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. He is in a place of desperation. He is at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, pleading for some help. It's amazing to me, Brother Tommy, that his religion isn't helping him right now. All of his study is not helping him right now. Brother Bob, all of his prayer life isn't helping him right now. Matter of fact, Brother Donald, he has come to the conclusion, if there's any hope for his daughter, it'll only be found at the feet of Jesus. He is in a place of desperation. Can I help you with something this morning? You're never going to get help till you get desperate. Can I say a drunk will never turn from the bottle till he gets desperate and he's willing to turn to the Lord? Can I say an addict will never, ever get help until they get desperate and they're willing to turn to the Lord? Can I say a sinner is never going to get saved till they get good and desperate and lost and they turn to Jesus for salvation? Can I say a good moral church member is never going to have power of God in their life till they get desperate and realize they don't have the power of God in their life and they turn to Jesus, huh? Can I say with the Lord, He deals in absolutes. He deals in transparency. He deals in truth. You're not going to hoodwink God. He knows all about you, friend. This is a person of renown. He's in a place of desperation. But notice, if you will, the possibility seems helpless. Look what happens. Verse 42 says, his daughter lay to dying. He says, but as he went, the people thronged him. Look at verse 49. And while he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. The possibility now seems helpless. There's no more hope. He comes to Jesus. By the way, that's the best place you can ever bring your problems, to Jesus. He comes to Jesus, Brother Brian, but he doesn't come arrogantly or flippantly. He's at the feet of Jesus. He's humbled. He comes to Jesus. And then the Bible says, and as they went, the people thronged him, thronging Jesus. Did you ever come to Jesus and it feels like Jesus is helping everybody else, but he's not helping you? That's where he's at. Seems hopeless. Matter of fact, nobody ever came to Jesus and left the same way they came. Matter of fact, the Bible says when the multitudes would come to him, he'd heal them all. He's not getting what he needs. Everybody else is taking Jesus' time. And now one of his servants comes and says, don't trouble the master, your daughter's dead. Now let me just say, as I preached on this topic a long time ago, it's no trouble for the master. Just put that right out there. I don't care where you are, what you're facing. It may be way too big for you, but it's not too big for him. But can I say this? Luke chapter 8 is a chapter of miracles. There is the miracle of deliverance in this chapter. In verses 22 through 25, you know the story. The disciples are in a ship on the sea. A storm comes in. The boat starts taking on water where the boat's about full. And they went and Jesus was asleep in the hinder part of the ship. They said, Master, care not that we perish. And they went and they got the Lord. And he stood on the bow of the ship. He rebuked the winds and the waves. And a peace came upon that thing. And they were delivered safely to shore. Friend, you may be here today. and it may look like there is no hope. It may look like there is no way out. All you need is Jesus. Get on board your boat, understand and say, peace be still, and everything can change in your life. There's a miracle deliverance in this chapter. There's a miracle where God overthrows demons in this chapter. We find where the Lord comes to the country of the Gadarenes, and there's a man there by the name of Legion. He's possessed with many demons. They chain him to the tombs, and he'd break the chains, and he's out running around the graveyard with no clothes on. Can I help you with something? If there's somebody running around a graveyard, number one, that's weird. Number two, if they run around stark naked, they're really weird. I'd highly suggest leave them alone. He comes to Jesus. And Jesus delivers him of them demons. They find this man clothed in his right mind. And then the townspeople got afraid. They weren't too worried about him when he's running around out there howling at the moon. But when they find him at the feet of Jesus. That's the way some of your loved ones looked at you. They didn't mind when you was out carousing around and howling at the moon, acting like a fool. But when you got born again and you started getting dressed up and come to church on Sunday, they got a little afraid of you. There's the miracle of deliverance. There's a miracle over demons. There's a miracle over disease. Right after Jairus comes to Jesus, there's a woman with an issue of blood. She's had this issue of blood. She has hemorrhaged for 12 years. The Bible says that she'd spent all she had going to many physicians, but she didn't get better. She grew worse. Now she's broke. She's still in a mess. There is no hope for her. But she says somebody told her about Jesus. I don't know who told her. Maybe that madman had told her. Zacchaeus had told her. Maybe it was blind Bartimaeus. She said, hey, Bartimaeus, what are you doing looking around? I thought you was blind. Said, I met Jesus. I don't know. Somebody told her about Jesus. And she heard he was coming through town. And she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garments. She did. Virtue went out of him. He said, who touched me? Peter said, Lord, there's a multitude thronging you. And you said, who touched me? And she got help that day and was healed of her disease. It's a